So Ash, you need to tell her your funny story about why we're not using video today.
Oh, okay. So this morning I woke up and the internet was out. So I was like, well, what the hell do I do? So I took my recording stuff, my laptop and my mic and my headset. And I'm currently in a McDonald's parking lot.
That's so shady.
Yeah. So I'm like,
creep.
I'm like the creepiest dude ever.
Hello and welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode 113. We have a special guest today, and that is Jessa Brzezinski from Harmonix, and she's here to talk to us about all kinds of things. Dance Central, they're currently doing fitness challenges right now over the summer. We'll talk about community management and what's going on at San Diego Comic-Con with Harmonix this year. And her response to the Nerd Appropriate signature question might surprise you, so stick around for that as well.
I like it.
And Ash, I think, has successfully made it out of the McDonald's parking lot, as you will hear on or have heard already. So with that,
let's do the rundown.
What we're going to do today is pretty much just the interview, but I will quickly tell you what I've been up to. I've been playing Borderlands 2, and I have a story of woe. Unfortunately, I was playing as the Gunzerker, who I had leveled up to about 25, and had transferred many of my early level legendary weapons to, when the power temporarily went out at my house and my character was completely lost.
Wow.
So I am not stoked about that. Kind of a bummer. But of course, I've been playing some Dance Central. I've been rewatching Grimm with my wife, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I played Quantum Conundrum, which is pretty good. And if you're a Portal fan, that's something you need to check out as well. So if you're listening to this and you're at San Diego Comic-Con right now, I just want to mention that all this week we'll be posting all kinds of news and updates from San Diego Comic-Con. Before the convention started, Ash posted a number of articles about things that you should not miss and how to survive the con, so please check those out as well. And with that, I think it's time we head over to our interview with Jessa Brzezinski. We'll see you on the flip side.
Okay, we are here, Rated NA episode 113, with Jessa Brzezinski from Harmonix. Woo. How you doing?
Hello, I'm great, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you for taking the time to join us. And as we discussed prior, Ash is up in the mountains having mountain internet trouble, so we're going to hold it down the best we can, and I think it's going to go well. So what we typically like to do when we start these interviews is sort of like talk about how we came to know you, I guess, in a sense. And it's crazy because it seems like Harmonix has like maybe one of the biggest community presences, like as far as conventions and stuff like that go. So I think
You guys always bring the fun.
Yeah.
So whenever we see you at a show, we're like, oh, here's a fun place to go hang out. Yeah, it's definitely.
We love doing conventions. And, you know, our team is, I guess, kind of strange in that our team is very dedicated to them. And it's always some combination of our seven community members at them.
Yeah.
Which means we get to meet the same people at conventions over and over and kind of form these friendships, which is great.
Yeah. And that's actually an excellent segue because we're going to, I just wanted to briefly talk about like, seems like we've run into just about everybody like at this point. So we've,
yeah.
I think maybe the first person that we met from Harmonix was Allie, and that was at the swap event, right, Ash?
Oh, I heard video game swaps.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if maybe we lost Ash, but
I'm sorry, I'm fading in and out. I'm fading in and out.
Oh, okay. But I remember that Matt's not here today, but Matt and Ash went to a swap, I think, 2 years ago at PAX East.
Yeah.
Which Allie hosted.
It was at
Middlesex, right?
East, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was at the Middlesex Lounge at PAX East, and there was a game swap, and we met Allison Thresher there. And she was actually one of the first CMs. She was the CM at the time. And she's always been really super gracious and cool to our site and has always been really, really friendly to us. She's actually written a couple things for our site as well. So You know, she's always been awesome. So she was really one of the first people from Harmonix that we met.
Yeah. And then I think last year at Prime, or no, it was East, last East recently, we ran into Ryan Lesser with his tabletop game, High Heavens, that he was working on, which is awesome for him. And I see that that got funded too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Harmonix people are always working on crazy projects, even outside the studio. And Harmonix as a studio really encourages that too. So I'm not surprised. Yeah, I think it got funded and he's been hard at work and keeping everybody at work updated with what's going on with that, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think at Prime, I bumped into Nick Chester in the coffee line, who was desperately in need of coffee at the time and food.
Yes.
And then and then that brings us to you. And the first time I think I didn't meet you, but I saw you because some friends of mine invited me to the rock band night at the Brattle Theater.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And lo and behold, like all the Harmonix people jump on stage to do Meatloaf's. I think it was Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that song is at least 15 minutes long and you were singing it.
And you know what? I was the only Harmonix person. It was this group of guys who wanted to do that song and couldn't find someone to do it.
Are you serious?
And I thought Annette, who's another community manager and was lead on Dance Central for a while, I thought she would want to do it. And she did not. She claimed to not know the song.
Sure.
So I agreed to do it, not remembering quite how long it is.
Yeah.
And I got up there, and it's one of those songs that, like, it's a goofy song. You really have to give it your all. It's not something that you show off vocal skills on. You just have to ham it up.
Right.
Which is great, because I can't sing, but I can ham it up.
Exactly.
But it was on forever and ever and ever. It would not stop.
Yeah. That was hilarious. And I think every time I've seen you after that, I like to harass you about that, which is which is awesome.
Oh, I have regrets. I do have regrets.
Yeah. So so that brings us to today, and it's awesome to have you on, and it's I feel like it's been a long time. We've been trying to do this for months now, which is crazy.
Yeah, our schedules have been crazy.
Yeah, and you've been so busy too. So I guess the thing that we typically like to start out with as far as the questions go is sort of like what your origin story is. So how did you sort of get into the games industry? Like how did you get into doing community management and end up with Harmonix ultimately?
I always feel kind of bad when people ask this question because it's so much of it was just kind of luck. Like I knew people who were in Harmonix, so I started as an external play tester. Mm-hmm. And then they needed someone they were looking for an intern for the PR and community team, which I applied for and got. And I guess they liked me because they kept fixing my contract. And then when that ran out, I actually moved into the playtest department and worked there for a while until that ran out. Left the company for a while, but then when they were able to expand the community team and kind of replace people who had moved on, Allie had moved into a different department in the company, I got brought back full time and have now been back for 2 years. So I've worked on and off for three years now. So much of it was just kind of, you know, knowing people and showing that I am not embarrassed easily and
right.
I don't think any weird task is beneath me and will do whatever needs to get done to make sure things are success. So worked my way up to where I am now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think you said you hate stating that, but that story sort of echoes the story of a couple of, you know, I know that Chris Priestley from BioWare started as a tester as well. And he knew some people. So I think your path is maybe pretty representative of the path to get there.
I think so too. I get questions from people a lot about, what should I study in college or, you know, where should I go? And it's basically study whatever you're passionate about and get whatever skills you can, as varied as they are, and meet people, network. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's how most of us get here.
I guess, like you said, being super brave and not afraid of anything is a pretty good skill to have as well.
Yeah. When I started as an intern, I think 4 days after I started, they took me to Comic-Con.
Wow, really?
It was brand new. And it was, that was DC One and Rock Band 3. So I was having to get on stage and play pro guitar.
Oh my gosh.
Not really played pro guitar before.
And was that your first Comic-Con as well?
It was.
Wow.
And it was a Comic-Con where a guy got stabbed in the eye.
Oh, right.
And I was in the back when they were like taking everyone away to the hospital and the police were there.
You actually witnessed that?
I didn't see the actual event. I just saw the aftermath as the paramedics were rushing the guy through like the back hallways of the Comic-Con Convention Center.
Yeah.
So
wow.
That's incredible.
Full that introduction to harmonics.
That's crazy.
That's incredible. So cool.
I think I heard you mention that
event is like legendary at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
What a thing to be known for.
Yeah, that's one of like Comic-Con's legendary occurrences.
Yeah.
I heard you mention that on the somebody mentioned it, I think, on the most recent harmonics podcast as well.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of nostalgic for it. We're actually going out to Comic-Con again this week. I'll be there in the Xbox Gamers Lounge with Nick and John Drake and Annette Gonzalez showing off Fantasia. So that will be fun. But
that's really
it's
exciting.
Oh,
very cool.
Your favorite conventions. Even just for
it
the
is combat. So much fun, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of taps into all the different things that you can nerd out about, which is great.
I think I was just going to throw it out there, too, that if instead of doing questions, if you just want to talk about restaurants for 45 minutes, like, we can just do that, too, if you want to do that.
My ability to ramble on anything for an hour may also be what got me my job.
Yeah, I mean,
an awesome ability.
I think that harmonics podcast came out yesterday, and the first 25 minutes was about, like, family dining, something like that.
Well, we have very different opinions. I grew up in Texas, so the chains that I'm familiar with are very different than the chains other people on the team are familiar with, many of whom are either from Chicago or from New England.
Yeah, we probably have some of the same stuff down here in Florida.
Yeah, they are constantly astounded by the things that I enjoy or am familiar with.
Oh, really? It's like, what is... Tell us about this mythical place, Texas. Like, what's going on down there?
Oh, no.
Getting back into the community management, like, what is like a typical day for you specifically? Because it seems like there's a lot of you. I mean, you've even told me like you've been extremely busy lately.
Yeah. So for specifically the community management portion of it, since this is kind of a not slow time, but steady time in the Dance Central community, trying to find content to keep things going over the summer has been fun. In April, we kicked off a new dancer spotlight post where it's kind of shining light on an outstanding fan every month. Mm-hmm. There's that. We've been doing crew throwdowns where people on Facebook can vote for which crew they want to see featured next. And then we make intensive blog posts with, about that crew and, creating unique merchandise that we sell in our harmonic spreadshirt store, which is actually another thing that I manage.
Oh, wow.
I make all the things for that.
That's cool.
So a typical day in community is kind of running those things, reaching out to fans to get people started on the next month and working on creating those blog posts, interacting with fans on Twitter and moderating the forums and Facebook, which is kind of the wild, wild west of the social universe. And
yeah, for sure.
Playing a lot, making sure that live challenges are still going since we've got those going on as well. And compiling new playlists for our fitness challenge that we have going on right now. A lot of stuff like that. Since we don't have Dance Central going to a show anytime soon, that portion of it is slower. But we still have a lot going on in the online arena.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been following those fitness challenges. Maybe we should talk about those for a second. So the first thing that I need to say is... on the floor. I haven't seen it in a playlist yet.
Oh, just wait. It's there.
Oh, okay. All right.
I actually used it twice and had to go back and rearrange. Usually when we do fitness playlists, we have like 30 songs on there and tell people to choose.
Yeah.
And we've gotten feedback that people wanted to have fewer options. So for this one, we did where you have 12 songs and obviously you can swap them out if you need to.
Right.
I won't know.
Right.
But so we did more ticketed ones, which meant it was really trying to pick which songs to feature that maybe people aren't as familiar with or don't think of when they think of whatever the theme for that playlist is. Mm-hmm. But On the Floor is definitely on there. I tried not to reuse songs, which is why I had to make some changes, but I can't remember. I guess it must be one of the ones coming up.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And I saw that the sort of like you said, the challenges were themed this time around. So there was one like maybe for cardio and one for arms and stuff like that, right? That's how they're structured, sort of.
Right. And then there are a couple wild card ones that before they've been things like the old school challenge. And this time I try to make a more summary. So like this current one right now is sizzling summer. It's all like songs that have kind of Latin dance moves or talk
about terrible at those.
Scott, I really want to see you do the Latin moves.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the deal, though. Scott doesn't give himself any credit, but he's incredible at the Dance Central games. Like, he is ridiculous. He has been on stage many times at many different cons.
And I was so impressed.
Oh, thanks.
I really was. On the Floor is one of those songs that you watch it and it looks difficult, but until you try to do it, you don't realize quite how hard it is. It requires some really difficult coordination.
It's exhausting, too. Like, yeah. You keep your arms up in the air for most of the song, and like, you know, if you don't do a lot of that type of exercise, like that is exhausting to keep your arms up and swinging them around for like 3 minutes. That's crazy.
A lot of changes. So when you got on the stage at PAX East this year and did that, I was very impressed.
Oh, thanks. I think that I was planning to do some Justin Bieber song because I thought it was funny. And then right before I went on stage, Ash and Matt showed up with like cameras and video, like their cell phone cameras and stuff like that. I was like, well, I'm just going to have to go for it now. And I picked like the most ridiculous song that I could think of. And I'm pretty sure it was like 10 o'clock in the morning still. So everybody was still like drinking coffee. And I just went for it. I don't know what happened. I blacked out. You absolutely killed it.
It was hilarious.
I totally blacked out. And then I saw Matt captured video afterwards and showed it to me. And of course showed our friends and everything too. So
the best part about it is, didn't you bring like a headband from home? Like, you were prepared for this. Like, you were ready.
I did have a headband.
You had an outfit.
I thought it would be funny.
Dedicated.
Right? Yeah.
Aww. It was definitely dedication.
And you know what's funny, too?
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I have moved inside of the McDonald's. So if you hear chicken McNugget orders, or if you hear beeping, or
such a strange
if you
show.
Hear any of those things, that is why you are hearing them. Okay, so I'm
oh my gosh,
I have gotten probably a couple dozen strange looks because I have a microphone and a big headset on.
Coming to you live from McDonald's in the Smoky Mountains.
We are a super classy podcast.
Wow.
We're just trying to keep it interesting for you, Jessa. That's really what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
I'm in exotic locations. I'm impressed.
Yeah. It is.
Exotic,
it is.
Yes.
Cool. So it seems like just from the games that you make and the panels that I've been to, it seems like you guys have a lot of people that have maybe like extremely like a wide variety of interests, you know, like people that are musicians and people that are, you know, into art and people that are sort of into the, you know, historical aspects of things.
Absolutely.
Like the Beatles and Disney and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you see that even just paying attention, you know, you mentioned Ryan Lesser's board game and, you know, Ali doing the video game swap, and everybody has all these passions. Our artists have an art show every year.
Oh, wow.
You know, people are very dedicated, and we kind of are able as a studio to pull in people with very different talents, but who all come together to create these games that feed off of all of our interests and talents. And it means there are a lot of really interesting and incredible people that I get to work with and kind of take for granted that I get to rub shoulders with them every day.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely shines through in the quality of the games as well. And I remember we actually talked to Ryan a little bit after we got to play his prototype, and we asked him, you know, why did you choose this source material of mythology? And he was just like, I'm a huge mythology nerd. When I was a kid, I was like really interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
And you can see the quality of that too.
Yeah. It's funny too. You always kind of find out the people who share your qualities. I think I was in a meeting and I had written something in Elvish on a board, and I don't remember why. Like, I have no memory of why I did this, but, Chris Foster, one of our higher ups in the company, he used to work at Turbine and did Lord of the Rings online.
Oh, wow.
And walked by and saw it and just launched into a Lord of the Rings like nerd rant, right? Which I was fully into because I'm also a huge Tolkien nerd. And so you have these secret ways of finding out who else, you know, is really, or street passing. I can tell you everyone who's really into Animal Crossing.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe we should talk about Animal Crossing.
There's a lot of that going on right now. Let's talk about that for a minute.
We had I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had Abby Heppy on from Respawn to talk about Titanfall. And what we ended up talking about for 25 minutes was Animal Crossing.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I carry my DS with my street pass on my spot pass on to and from work and every day. And even people outside of Harmonix who I spot pass with, which is both cool and creepy at the same time, everyone's playing Animal Crossing. Everyone.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. I've played all of the previous ones. I'm like afraid to start playing this one because I know that I'm going to get sucked in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, somebody astutely pointed out that like it taps into that need for you to like pay off debt and collect things, you know, like you're,
I'm not paying off my student loans in real life. So I might as well do it in a video game.
Right. Me neither. I know exactly what you mean. So like Tom Nook just has you under his thumb and you're just like at his beck and command all the time. Just really tapped into something primal there, I think, with Animal Crossing.
On the community very quickly, before we jump into some other stuff, if you were to give advice to other community managers, what would you say the key to having a successful, friendly community, what would that be? Because you hear of a lot of community managers that burn out after a while because of all the negativity. So what is that like, and how do you deal with sort of the stresses of the job?
I think it's very much a balancing act. I handle all customer support at our company, so I a lot of times see people at their most frustrated and their most unhappy. And I think it's important to keep it all in perspective and remember that when people are upset, it's because they care very much about whatever it is that you're dealing with. And to balance it out by also listening to the people who are really happy and excited. And, you know, we get incredible heartfelt stories from people saying, you know, I played guitar to regain dexterity in my fingers, or I met my wife playing this game, or, you know, me and my family get together and dance every weekend and it's our family time, and trying to balance out the good and the bad and keep in mind that everybody's, the reason that they're engaging with you in the first place is because they care about your product, and that as long as you listen to them and respectful, usually people will return that. You know, I've had people who completely lost their mind. They're so angry. And then when I respond to them in a very sympathetic and understanding way, they apologize, which is always really gratifying.
Oh, cool.
That's, you know, really cool. We're all people and we're interacting because we both care about the product. And I think you have to focus on that, and you have to like the people you're interacting with. I think if you don't like interacting with people who are very passionate about something, I don't know that community management is necessarily the right job for you.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that so many different companies view the word community in different ways. Like some companies don't feel like the service aspect is a part of community management. Like it's almost like community is an arm of the marketing department. You know what
I mean? Right.
So I think it's really cool and interesting that Harmonix really kind of encapsulates the end-to-end customer experience as part of community. So, this is kind of a statement question, but can you kind of, you know, talk about how you feel Harmonix is doing that's different than other companies, perhaps?
Yeah, I had always found it, I think it makes it way more efficient and just better in general that, you know, I'm both taking in the community or the customer support tickets when people have issues. So it means we get double reporting. You know, we get to see if something goes wrong, if something breaks, if something's missing from the store. We hear about it both from the support queue and from the community as a whole, whether it's on Twitter or on the forums or whatever. So it means that we are pretty quickly aware of an issue and we are able to address it quickly. And that we're not having to, you know, contact people and have this person tell these people, and kind of we're able to divide and conquer to get the issue fixed. And we're all on the same page on what that resolution is. And it means we get to be way more interactive with people, whether they're an individual who's having a problem exporting or a group as a whole who's confused about, you know, I don't know, how to buy DLC or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, it means that a lot of times customer support kind of gets shoved under the rug, and maybe not all companies realize how important it is. But at the end of the day, you want people to be happy with your product. And because our community, our customer support is rolled into our community, it means it doesn't get forgotten. It doesn't get lost. You know, we're still providing support for games that Rock Band's almost 3 years old now, and Dance Central 2, several-year-old products that still I respond to every ticket I get within 24 hours, unless it's a weekend, and then people are really confused why I haven't responded yet.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I get time off too. I say
I'm sorry I don't work on Sundays, but it's Monday at 10 a.m. so you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But
I guess that leads into a different question of you know, as far as, you know, listening to the community and taking in their feedback. How do you make the difficult choices of of selecting music for games, because music preference is such a personal thing for a lot of people.
And oh man,
I go into the Dance Central forums and I see there's like 100 people. This song should be in the game. That song should be game. There's like lists and lists of songs that people want in. And like at some point you just have to make the decision, right? I mean, it must be very difficult.
So I am happy to say that I am not in the department that has to do that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I don't know how you would. I mean, we get inundated with song requests for both of our games. And what's interesting is a lot of times most of the song requests we get are already requests that we also are making internally. We've had dedicated music teams that just listen to music and find out, you know, what are other people listening to? What do they care about? And then they're the ones that have to do all the legwork of, you know, the legal processes of finding out who owns what songs, what can we get in the game, and that whole kind of scary, scary territory that I'm glad I don't have to deal in.
Yeah.
But the community requests and things like that, it all comes in. Gangnam Style coming out as DLC was something that, you know, we knew to go after because the community really, really wanted it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you do hit a point where you can't please everyone because there are, you know, people like different styles of music. And fortunately with something like Rock Band, we pretty much have something for everyone.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can't find music within over 4,000 song library you don't like, I don't know.
I guess this is a good time also to make a shameless plug for our friend The Pauses, who went through your Rock Band Network procedure and got their own song in the game. And they also, they made sort of like a unboxing video for their DLC. I don't know if you remember
that.
They like, one of the guys is really good with video and stuff like that. So he made like a little commercial where it's like an unboxing video, and then they open up the box and like the band is in there playing their own song on the Rock Band game. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, that was really awesome. So,
yeah, I'm kind of blown away by the whole Rock Band Network. I mean, it is not easy authoring tracks. It really is not. And so to have this whole community that actually makes very intense DLC to release in a game, and it means we've been able to bring so many, well, not we, because we didn't do it.
Right.
The Rock Band as a whole has all of these incredible artists and songs that we might not otherwise have had. It's been really awesome as output.
Yeah, and it's even cool. I mean, you say you didn't do the work, but you did put the tools out for the people to use, and
yeah.
I think that's a really awesome thing to do. I don't know that a lot of companies would necessarily always provide stuff like that to say like, hey, just go do whatever you want, you know, have fun.
Yeah, and people have done wonderful, fun things with it, and it's still going.
Yeah. I wanted to quickly bring it back to the Summer Fitness Challenges, and since we were talking about community, I wanted to talk for a second about your Dancer Spotlight Series 2, and specifically the gentleman that you have for July as well.
Sean.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. I had remembered his story. He's been a forum regular for a while, and he had – before we even started doing these, he had offhand mentioned to someone on there that he had lost some incredible amount of weight. So when I was specifically looking for fitness-focused spotlight dancers for the summer, he was the first person I thought of, and I was very happy that he was more than happy to answer my questions and, you know, provided some pretty incredible photographs for the blog. And
Over 100 pounds, right? Something like that?
Yeah, he went from over 300 down to 185. And
awesome.
A little over a year, he said, which is incredible. And, you know, we get that kind of, we've heard some really just incredible stories from people who've had, you know, similar success where they've been able to drop a lot of weight and get back into a healthy lifestyle. Jamie from, you know, month of June is actively working on hers as well. And it's, for me, it's very touching as someone who's also not lost that much, but who has used Dance Central to get healthy again. And, you know, when so many people are struggling to find ways to get active and to stay fit and or at least get healthy, it's really touching to see it that Dance Central has been able to help people in any small way accomplish those goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've certainly used Dance Central for the same reason, too.
I think there are many games out there that have had the absolute opposite effect on people, like making them gain 100 pounds.
Well, right.
If you add it up, go ahead.
No,
I was going to make a terrible World of Warcraft joke about how much weight people have gained playing games.
Well, like we joke, but you know, if we, you know, love our fellow gamers in the industry and want everybody to be happy and healthy and live forever, and but we kind of come together around a hobby that at least used to be very sedentary and, you know, not necessarily lead to a healthy, active lifestyle. So, you know, I, for one, am all for all of the motion titles that, you know, no matter how good or bad or interesting they may be, that, you know, allow us to have an outlet to be able to get more active, but also still enjoy games. And I'm all for that. I want everyone in this industry to be happy and healthy.
Absolutely. I've also, I know that not everybody shares the same opinion, but I am very strongly opinionated about how one is supposed to play Rock Band, and that is always standing up in front of the TV.
I
know that some people play to get like 100%, but I play to look good, you know, like throw the guitar around and stuff like that. I mean, I guess I don't. I'm not saying I look good when I play it. I probably look like a fool, but.
No. You look good, sir. You look good.
I think the physical performance is part of how to play Rock Band, in my personal opinion. You know,
I'm exhausted after playing, especially if I'm drumming. I'm so tired.
Yeah, absolutely.
It involves your whole body drumming.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk a little bit about upcoming conventions. And we touched on it a little bit, but maybe we should talk first about how your E3 was this year in general.
Oh, it was good. It was a lot. It was the first convention where I was kind of heading up events for Harmonix Publishing. So it was a lot to manage since I was throwing a party and trying to get all of our planning together.
Yeah, but, and I think we lost you for a month there in between.
Yeah, it was busy, but it was great. You know, the reception of Fantasia Music Evolved was great. And we had a great time. You know, we love going to E3. It's probably one of our favorite shows just because it's so big and exciting, and we get to walk around a little bit and see other games going on. I got to play my first game at a convention. I have never in 3 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
What did you get to play?
I played Transistor.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Transistor's incredible.
Darren Korb is a good old school Rock Band fan, and know him from actually my first Comic-Con event. He was, I think, the first time I met him. So I got to go check his game out, and it was amazing. I loved it.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. That's great.
Transistor looks like so much fun.
Oh, it was so much fun. So it was good. It was busy. We all came home very, very tired.
I could imagine.
But we had a couple weeks off before we're heading to Comic-Con, which was nice. And then August is going to be chaos.
You're going to D23 as well?
Yeah, we'll be at D23. In early August, we'll be at PAX Prime. We have a couple panels there, and I'm not even sure what else yet. We're still finalizing what our presence will be there. We'll be at Gamescom in some capacity. We aren't sure whether we'll be on the floor or not yet, but it will be a month full of travel.
You're going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you personally, do you love like traveling that much, or do you get kind of tired of like road life? I mean,
it sounds like you're in a band almost, you know? Like you're on tour.
During the summer, it definitely is like that. You do hit a point where you're kind of tired and you're ready to, you know, sit at home and veg, and they're long days, but you know, for a portion of the year, it's kind of this mad sprint to travel all over. Last year, I think we went from PAX Prime to a European tour where we were in 4 cities in 3 days or something like that. Jeez. 3 cities in 4 days. And it really is fun. And you know what really does it is that my coworkers are pretty great. And we have an awesome time on the road. And we get to show off really fun games to show off and interact with press and fans both. And it makes the really long hours worth it. And
I do have to say, not to cut you off, but every time I go to shows, and I've been going for years and years and years, when you go by the Harmonix guys or whoever's working at the Harmonix booth, everyone is always smiling and having a really amazing time. And it's just like, it's so different. The dynamic is so different from other booths where it's like very cold and clinical, you know. It's really odd in a good way.
We really love doing the shows. And I think that if you didn't, it would be a very difficult job for you. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like this year, Gamescom and PAX Prime, there's only 5 days that separate those two shows. So yeah, I'm very much involved in that. So I totally agree.
Yeah, you really have to love it, or you would just go crazy. You'd be miserable. It's not something you can just grin and bear through. Like, you have to love it.
It's true. And PAX Prime has an extra day this year.
Oh my gosh.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm so confused about that extra day, because who on Sunday at PAX is not totally exhausted?
Right?
So Monday is just going to be like, everyone's going to be zombies. It's like, what are they doing?
They're just going to put out more beanbags to play Animal Crossing in Spot Pass.
Seriously.
There you go.
It'll be incredible. And I also want to mention for our listeners, anyone that's listening, if you've If you've ever been to a con but you have not been to a harmonics panel, you are missing out because they are hilarious and incredible. I remember I went to the one at Prime and you did like a trivia night, and it was really fun and everybody was super into it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh yeah,
you were there for like 10 minutes, and then you and Annette had to run to something else, right?
Yeah, the Omegathon that night. Our game was in the Omegathon.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, was a fun panel. We have two panels at PAX Prime this year that we'll have more details on later. One's a Fantasia panel, and the other one is kind of our standard community hangout fun times panel. I know Eric Pope is, I think, heading that up for us, and he'll have more of a way more detailed and cooler sounding pitch than that.
I think my first harmonics panel I went to maybe, I don't know, 3 years ago, Eric Pope read all these nasty emails that he got. And it was one of the funniest panels I've ever been to. He just spent 10 minutes reading nasty expletive-filled emails. It was so funny.
I read customer support ones at the PAX East panel this month or this year. Oh my gosh. I don't know what this
is. Yeah.
This year I read a bunch of customer support ones I gotten, and people were losing their minds. And that was so big for me to be reminded, like, you have to step back and just find the really angry people funny, because they're so serious when they write these really angry emails, but oh boy.
Yeah. So I guess we should also mention, I don't know if you mind me saying, but like somehow in the middle of all this, you're trying to plan a wedding, are you not?
I am. Oh, I
congratulations.
Hope
congratulations.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
We're
huge.
All married suckers, so.
Yeah, we
know how painful the marriage, getting married process is.
No, 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 she's not in yet. It's not that painful.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Right. Sure. Planning a wedding is painful.
It's too late. We could stop loving each other, and we're going through with this wedding.
It's like, where do you even find the time unless you're going to do it on the stage at a con, you know, the Dance Central stage or something?
Right. I'm going to be amazed if our entire team is able to make it. Yeah. I put in October. We don't have the game coming out in October. So, you know, usually we do. So I had to put something there for our team to do in October.
Of course.
It'll be the wedding.
Yeah. That and talking about restaurants, debating which ones are better than the others, right?
I mean, so they all gave me so much shit. When I love Chili's, okay? I am a big fan of Chili's. And I get that it's like, I don't know, it's the super generic restaurant. Like, everyone can find something there they like. The food is mostly frozen, but it's good, whatever. Yeah. So the day after I got engaged.
Curiosity, I'm curious what you like at Chili's, because I'm a fan of a few items on the place as well.
Great.
Oh my God, they're so good.
What about the quesadilla explosion?
I mean,
quesadilla explosion salad is awesome as well.
Yeah.
I love their lettuce wraps are great. The fajitas are great. Their salads are great. I don't know. If you hate Chili's, you hate humanity.
They have an imitation bloomin' onion, though. They have a bloomin' onion, too, like a fake one, right?
They have everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. There is pretty much one everything.
Everything you could possibly want.
And I love the fact that you're sitting in a McDonald's and we're talking about Chili's.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just interject here. Apparently, there's some new hot menu craze item here that requires a blender. And the blender has been going off constantly for the past 10 minutes.
It's probably the McFlurry.
The McFrappe, right?
I don't even know. So I've been hiding the microphone underneath the table while the blender is going off, hoping that no one can hear it. But I've never heard the blender.
Oh, wow.
It's constant. So, yeah.
I kind of feel like we should have some voiceover that just says, and now a word from our sponsors.
Yeah.
Seriously. I know.
Talk about Chili's, McDonald's.
We're not affiliated. We just eat there a lot.
Yeah. I can't blame
brand
you.
Brand ambassadors.
Yeah. My guilty pleasure is the Outback Steakhouse.
Outback.
Oh, my God. I love Bloomin' Onions. I used to be able to eat a whole thing by myself. And like
Onion is like 200 grams of fat.
I know. It's delicious.
It's why it's delicious.
Why do you think it's so good? Come on.
Yeah.
No, man.
Oh my
gosh. That extra sauce they put in the middle, that's incredible.
It's like a heart attack on a plate.
I think that's just grease, Scott. I think that sauce is just oil.
If I remember correctly, that's my bachelor night. We went to Outback Steakhouse, did we not? Like, that was
we did. It was really super classy.
Yeah. Wow.
Super classy.
Yeah.
And then didn't we go, for you, didn't we go to play, we went gambling, right?
Yeah.
It was such a Such a, like a bro.
Hey, now remember, I didn't pick that. Steak. Somebody picked that for me, but I had a good time.
Hangover, or are you thinking of your real bachelor party?
No, that it actually happened. It was, but you know, we're all nerds, so it was like the tamest version of the hangover you could imagine. You know, just
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think anyone even drank anything.
It's like, I wonder what the statistical frequency is of me getting a jackpot on the slot machines. You know, like stuff like that. Anyways,
that's true. That was what it was like. It was fun though.
So I guess let's get back into the con conversation. Do you sort of like what are do you have any crazy stories from cons, like, or is it just all big blur to you? Is there any memorable moments? I mean, it seems like you've been on the road for 3 years now.
I know. It's hard because it does all run together.
The Comic-Con stabbing. So that was a big one.
That was pretty memorable. Like that's hard to come back from. You know, you get to do fun things. When we've gotten to interact with celebrities, it's always pretty fun. And what else? Or when you see people at conventions. I was standing pretty close to Joss Whedon one time. That was exciting.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I saw the back of Mila Jovovich's head. That was great.
Just like a random like conglomerate of people from all different walks of life.
I know. To be honest, a lot when we're at conventions, almost all my time is spent at the booth, which is great because it means I get to meet the fans, but it means I miss out on some of the really cool stuff that are there. Comic-Con is always the one that's really hard for me because I know that there are panels going on that I want to be at that I don't get to go to. Yeah. So those are missed opportunities. But
that's got to be kind of painful to be like in the same building as everything you want to see.
They're so close to me right now. I want to go.
How about like the first time, like were you prepared for your first con, like when people came out in like full cosplay, like Dance Central characters, stuff like that?
Not for Dance Central characters. That we had not really anticipated that would happen. Like, you know, we had never really made a game before that had these. I mean, you have like Duke of Gravity and Moose Jaw and Grace and those characters from Rock Band, but they're kind of deep cuts characters. You know, if you know them, if you're a real Rock Band fan. But the Dance Central games have these such recognizable characters, and it was really mind-blowing and incredible the first time we saw cosplayers and had not expected it. And, you know, some of them are so incredible.
Yeah, it's wild. I think you posted maybe some Glitterati ones recently, and I was like, holy crap. Like, that's
Heather
incredible.
And Nate, we had them as our dancer spotlight back in May, I think. They do a lot of cosplaying. David Wen, who did our credits for Dance Central 3, we met him because he was cosplaying as Glitch, obviously, because he's incredible.
I just assumed he was Glitch. I mean, like, every time I see him now.
We did some questionnaire about who people's favorite character was, and they all kept saying Glitch.
Yeah,
but we think it was just because they meant David.
Yeah, exactly.
The same. He's a great guy. We really love him.
Oh my gosh! And I mean, you just reminded me. I think part of the reason that I built this confidence up to jump up on stage and do a song in the first place was from looking at YouTube videos of people doing like Let's Play Dance Central. And Riff Raff DC was like the first guy. I saw so many of his videos, and like,
he's a great dancer.
Yeah, he's amazing too. So like, just to be able to like see sometimes an actual person doing the dances, it really like helps. And then I saw him at Prime, and I jumped up on stage and I was like, hey, look, man, you're dancing with me. I've been watching you dance for like months now. So like, I'm challenging you right now. And he's like, cool, let's go. And like,
oh yeah,
like we made a connection awesome. Right there on the stage. It was awesome.
That's it's awesome. So and it sounds like the plot for a movie too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dance Central the movie coming to theaters in 2015.
Yeah. Six games in a movie. Yeah.
No, it's funny. I remember when we would demo the first Dance Central game years ago. And, you know, for the first time, we were asking people to get up in front of other people and dance. And it was really scary.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people would dance, but they were a lot shyer. And, you know, I danced so much then because it was usually one person in a group would dance. Everybody else would giggle about it and be really shy. And now, you know, you see we have people that stand in line for hours and who go through the line multiple times and really love it. And we were at PAX East, we were noticing, I don't know if this has always happened or if I just never noticed it before. After every single song, everybody claps.
Yeah.
Which is not how it ever was for Rock Band. You know, people would perform, and if it was a really great performance, people would cheer or clap or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, or people would just not pay attention. But it was this really inviting and welcoming community now when people are performing, and it means that more people, even shy people.
It's like a reunion now, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, you can really see it in people sometimes. They jump up on stage. You can tell they're kind of shy, but they've clearly practiced a lot at home. And then like they just get this monstrous applause afterwards, and it's really awesome. It's such a great like even like local community at the stage, you know?
Absolutely. I love my favorites are always when little kids get up and just nail it.
Yeah.
And then when really shy or quiet people come up and, you know, they don't really, they're trying to think of what song, or they know what song they want to do, but they're really quiet about letting us know. Mm-hmm. And then they just take off and you watch them and think, wow, that I wish I looked like that when I danced.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's scary, but I mean, kudos to the people that could do it, because I think, I mean, even I was like terrified on stage too. And I was like, I just went for it. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I forget that. It is scary to get on stage. I'm so numb to it by this point.
Yeah, I mean, how many songs do you think you and Annette have danced like over the past 3 years on that stage?
So many.
And I've heard, I think maybe it was Nick that told me that like you, like when other testers are just like laying on the floor, like exhausted, you're still like dancing like in the office, like it, you know, 11 p.m. or whatever. Like you're like the last one standing all the time.
We're the Energizer Bunnies. We don't, Annette and I will dance till the cows come home. It doesn't really stop.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Ash, are people still taking pictures of you at the McDonald's?
No, it's getting worse.
Oh, no.
Though. It's getting really crowded. This is a unique life experience for me. So I'm really happy, actually, that this is happening.
You're going to go down in infamy for being in a McDonald's in this little house.
I've never
shine the dead
I have
horse.
To say, yeah. 113 of these, and I've never done it from McDonald's. So there we go.
Wow. See, don't you feel special, Jessa, to be a part of this special moment at the McDonald's?
You should get a Happy Meal so you can get one of the little Minion toys.
That's true.
Yes.
You should get a toy.
We have one in our office. It makes us giggle every time we get sad or unhappy.
Oh, no.
That's a good idea. I might just do that.
Yeah.
So
Scott, do you want to ask the signature question?
Yes. So all we right. have a what we call the nerd-appropriate signature question that we ask of all of our guests on the show. Maybe you've answered it already in our discussion, but our question is this: what is your nerdy hobby or passion that you're almost too embarrassed to share, but you're going to tell everybody anyways?
There's so many of them. Like, you don't even understand how many of them there are.
Wow. Most people have trouble thinking of an answer, so I want to know.
I'm excited. I'm excited for this now.
Okay. Let's see. I'm super into Tolkien. In junior high, I was known as the girl who could speak Elvish.
Wow.
So that was
awesome. That is so cool.
Yes.
Really into Doctor Who and actually a lot of British TV shows.
Everyone's
into Doctor Who now. So, I mean, I was into it before. It was cool, you know?
Yeah.
what else? I'm really into period and historic fashions.
Wow,
that's very cool.
My own Renaissance gown.
What?
I have one already, but I'm making one now to learn how to do period sewing.
That's incredible.
What else? I do Irish step dancing, which is kind of nerdy. People don't do that a whole lot. Not river dance, but like
I was just going to say, is that like river dance with the curls?
This is like the kind of cheesy knockoff of Irish step dance. But yes, okay. That idea. What else? There's so many of them.
This is amazing.
It just goes on and on. Like
that's so cool. It doesn't even have to be like necessarily stuff that would be quote nerdy, like the, you know, the, your interest in Renaissance fashion, for example, is.
That is that's a really cool answer.
I wanted to be a Ren Fair performer so badly.
Are you like, really? Wow. We used to have a Renaissance festival where we were from and it was amazing.
I grew up with Scarborough Fair in Texas, which is incredible. And up here we just have a very small one. So like I took fencing for a while so I can sword fight. I'm pretty good with the bow and arrow. Like I have my skills, and I'm just waiting for my moment.
Wow. If there were ever a Hunger Games.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys not play D&D up there? Because it seems like you would be like a perfect candidate to like play really long sessions of Dungeons and Dragons.
I have not, but I think I kind of avoid it because I think I probably would. I love Skyrim and I love Diablo and I love The Sims.
Oh,
and
nice.
Those suck up my life so much that I try to avoid anything that will take my life even more. But I think
that would do it.
You don't like have so many time sinks already. What else?
I think you've crushed this question. It's amazing.
I think when you're young and you're growing up and you're kind of barest of the quirks. And one of my favorite things about this industry, and even kind of the existence, right, of your whole community, is that you shouldn't be embarrassed about the things that you're really nerdy about. They're things you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
And no one should ever be ashamed or embarrassed of their passions, even if they're kind of a weird or unique passion.
Yeah, and I mean, especially that's you can even see that at places like PAX too. Like, can you believe how friendly everybody is at PAX? There's like 50,000 people there, and everyone's bumping up against each other, and everybody's super polite about it.
Yeah, it's really awesome, and it's nice to have a space in which people can be comfortable and happy and brag about the things that they care about.
Great answer.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our questions. Why don't you quickly let us know where people can find you? Anything specific that you want to plug? Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts, stuff like that?
Sure. You can find me specifically. I'm Jessabrez on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Or you can follow me as well. This is a secret. I'm the voice of the Dance Central Twitter account.
Whoa.
I know.
Hey, you've retweeted us a few times.
I suspected
so thank
as
you.
Much. Yeah.
I thought you might put two and two together.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's me. So dance_central on Twitter or facebook.com/dancecentral. Harmonix is also a great Twitter feed to follow. That's actually our Christine, another wonderful person on our team, runs that. But there's a lot of information there. And between those, you can probably find out everything you want to know about me, Harmonix, and Dance Central.
Excellent. That's awesome. Cool. So this week's Nerd Appropriate question of the week was, tell us, well, it's not really a question, it's a statement question, I guess, but tell us
specific.
Yeah, very specific. Tell us of your greatest hit or fail you've had playing Rock Band or Dance Central. Ash, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. So a few years ago, I invited pretty much everyone that would actually show up at my house to do an endless setlist party. Ooh. And we did the entire endless setlist from beginning to end. But the whole idea was to have it costume themed. So we all dressed up as crazy characters and played until the wee hours of the morning, pretty much nonstop. I had a friend who was actually a Ringling clown, full Kiss makeup on myself, and so he did full Kiss makeup on myself. Everyone had crazy hair and leather jackets, and it was so incredibly fun and memorable. And I was so pissed at the end because I got like 10 achievement points. We played all night, and then the Xbox lights up and does, you know, bing, and it was like 10. I was like, are you kidding me? But the experience was worth much more than the achievement points.
So, I think I came dressed as a roadie. I had like a roadie outfit and tour badges and stuff like that.
You did. Yeah, yeah. You and your wife came, and you guys were awesome. And it was so much fun. That was probably the most fun I ever had playing Rock Band. But we played that endlessly. And that endless setlist party was just great because, I don't know, we probably had 30 people hitting in and out. Different
That's
difficulty
awesome.
Levels and stuff like that. So it was just so much fun.
And I don't know if you mentioned or not, but for this party, I think at the time you also owned not only all of the instruments, but you owned the fog machine and lighting, like accessories that you could buy.
I did. I was one of like the 10 people I think that ever bought that thing. It was a fog machine and a strobe light, and it went along with the music, and it was awesome. It stunk up the house, but it was great.
That's incredible.
That's very cool.
We have some responses from Twitter. So Alexi Staffer says, me and my wife had a Rock Band sesh before our first dance on our wedding day.
Oh.
Joko still alive in Skull Crusher Mountain. Yeah.
Nice. Still alive in Skull Crusher Mountain. Those are excellent ones.
Absolutely.
Eric Farmer, who's at ElfBoy88, he said, the other night in Rock Band 2 or 3 when I got 100% on Running Free by Coheed and Cambria on medium level.
That's amazing. Like,
Coheed and Cambria is not easy.
I admire anybody that can get 100% on any song in Rock Band. That's just not, I can't play that way. I find it so difficult.
Hard.
Yeah.
I get super nervous, you know, and then I just screw up even if I'm playing well.
The longer you go without making a mistake, the more likely you'll make a mistake.
Yeah, you make yourself so aware of it, and then Absolutely. You're like, oh, crap, you know. That's the worst.
Andrew Baker at abakern7 says that thought I was totally crushing Spirit of the Radio, but my guitar wasn't connected and my buddy was playing behind me. Hashtag fail. That's awesome.
That's a good one. That is funny.
You're totally doing it, man. Good job.
Yeah, good job. Good job. Yeah. Oh.
That's so sad.
I can't tell you how many times I've been looking at the wrong bars. So I'll be like halfway through a song and realize I've been playing like the bass part, not the guitar part.
See, my strategy on that is just hog the mic. I'm all about the vocals. The instruments, that's a little challenging.
So let's ask you then, Hillary, what's your crowning moment or failure
playing? Are you the singer? You're the singer.
I'm the singer. So whenever you play that game with me, basically I'll only play the singer. So there was an entire night where I didn't realize this, but I was totally being a jerk and hogging the mic. And I was like, okay, let's do the next one, guys. For the whole night. And then later on, someone's like, I would have liked the mic.
Oh, no. Oh, geez.
Oops.
Yeah, and I was like, oops.
We have house rules on our side of town. We let the singer choose the song, and then we rotate the singers out as we play.
Mm-hmm.
So it stays fair for everybody. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good one.
That way the singer actually gets to sing stuff that the singer can sing.
Yeah.
Some singers can sing it all.
Oh, okay. I can't tell you
how many songs I've learned from Rock Band.
Oh, yeah.
I hear them now on the radio, and I'm like, oh, I know that song now.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I was not really listening to, like, top 40 pop radio stations, and then Dance Central 3 came out, and all of a sudden I started listening to these radio stations again. And I was like, yeah, let me get into this Usher again. And, like, I started, like, totally, like, soaking up all this pop music, and it's such a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it really is. Maybe I should tell. I'll tell my story. Obviously, I could tell the story about I did, you know, On the Floor at PAX East this year. Jennifer Lopez is on the floor wearing a headband and sunglasses. And then when I go back and look at the picture, it was actually accidental Bodhi cosplay too, because I was wearing like an orange checkered shirt. I didn't even plan that. I just looked at the picture afterwards and I was like, oh man, I can't believe I did that. I'm that guy. But the story that I want to tell was that my wife is actually a huge Paul McCartney fan and not really a gamer at all. So when Beatles Rock Band came out, like, it was like a really big deal to her, even like on a personal level. So I remember for her birthday one year, we had a Beatles Rock Band party, and everybody that came to the party had to dress up like in Beatles costumes. And it was really awesome. Special. Yeah. And so we had people come dressed as like different era Paul McCartney's and John Lennon's. And then one of my friends came as like Sergeant Pepper, you know, wore full Sergeant Pepper gear. And it was really special. We just played Beatles Rock Band all night, which is sort of like, to me, you know, the difference between like Rock Band and Beatles Rock Band is that, like, to me, like Rock Band, when you play that, it's sort of like a little more serious and like score oriented, and you can play for parties and stuff like that. But like, to me, the Beatles is sort of like this
more experience.
An experience like through the Beatles music with the dreamscapes and everything too.
So, yeah.
That was like a really special night for her. So I guess maybe thank you for making that game and doing such a great job. But that was a really great night to do all those songs, and she really loved it. So
yeah,
that was my story.
Kittler C, who is Kittler. At Kittler C on Twitter. You know Kittler?
Cool. He
says he's about to tell a story about hurting himself, probably in front of you. So he says, E3 stage for Dance Central 2, first thing day one, spin move during freestyle, twisted my ankle.
Does that ring any bells? Poor Do you Kittler. See a lot of people getting hurt on the Dance Central stage?
No. We even actually, like, you know, you are always concerned when people are in an environment where they are going to be showing off, especially because we've had some people start doing crazy things. We have not had any injuries that I'm aware of. So hooray.
Yeah, I know. Knock on wood.
Yeah, right? That's awesome.
We don't want to make that happen now.
Yeah.
So Lisabitz at Lisabitz says, I must clearly remember the exhausted joy when we made it through Green Grass and High Tides on the Endless Set List.
Oh, that song. Yeah. Endless Set List. Green Grass and High Tides is like, how long is that song? It's like 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
I just remember getting cramps from that song.
But the songs that are longer than 10 or 15 minutes in Rock Band are pretty intense.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Yes fan. And then you guys released a Yes pack of songs. And like, man, I love Yes, but like playing those like 7 and 8 minute long songs is just like brutal.
It's rough.
And it's prog rock too, so it's not all like going the whole time. It's like slows down, speeds up, and then there's like instrumental, like weird space music and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, for Dance Central, we kind of cap out songs at a certain length, and it means we've done some edits to them. And so every once in a while, we'll have someone say, "I don't know why you would edit the song down. You've ruined the song," or whatever. And the response is, "Have you ever danced to an 8-minute song? Because it's not pretty."
Oh my God.
You can't do
it. Yeah, because I mean, like, I know you're right. I noticed this, and then I also noticed that I think Gangnam Style is not edited at all. Right? It's the whole almost 5 minutes.
We gave you the whole.
Wow.
And part of me thought that you guys did that on purpose, so that when people tried to like, so that at the next PAX you wouldn't have like 30 people in a row doing Gangnam Style, and they would see how tiring it was, and you wouldn't have to like.
They did it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many times did you see? Like Sexy and I Know It, you know, like on the stage.
So many.
Yeah. It was like the I Love Rock and Roll of Dance Central 3. I'm
absolutely
pretty sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our time with you, but it was awesome having you on, and we'll certainly need to have you on again when we can talk a little bit more about Fantasia.
Yeah, absolutely. This was great.
So I hope you enjoyed our interview with Jessa Brzezinski from Harmonix. Of course, we will all go follow her at Jessa Brez. You can follow Harmonix at Harmonix on Twitter. And also follow at Dance Central, which is dance_central. And for the latest about Harmonix's newest game, Fantasia Music Evolved, you can follow at Fantasia Game with no spaces. That was pretty good, don't you think, Hillary?
This is better than Saturday morning cartoons.
I agree. Of course, you can follow us at Nerd Appropriate on Twitter. We're on Facebook, Nerd Appropriate, as well. If you're at San Diego Comic-Con this week, be sure to keep an eye out for the rest of the gang and go visit the Harmonix booth. And with that, we will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
During the intermission, I just wanted to tell you guys that people are now taking pictures of me inside the McDonald's.
Oh, really?
So.
Oh, wow. You're going to end up in the news, just like the dead horse.